This is Mucho Radio. I am Marat Naimana. Today, we are honored to welcome Aline Nizigama, the National CEO of YWCA Canada, Canada's oldest and largest gender equity organization. Aline leads efforts to advance housing, childcare, workplace equity, youth leadership, and to end gender-based violence. She has been recognized with the Governor General's King Charles III Coronation Medal and inducted into the Black Canadian Awards WAL Role Models. Welcome, Aline, to Mucho Radio.
Thank you so much, Mucho Radio, for having me.
To begin this interview, could you tell us about yourself and what has been your journey like from Burundi to Canada?
Yeah, thank you. My name is Aline Nizigama. I grew up in Burundi, in Gitega, and that's where I lived until I was about 17. And like many others, was basically forced to leave the country in the late 1990s because of civil war with my siblings. And so that journey took me to another country in West Africa, in Burkina Faso, where we lived for 2 years, and to the United States, where I became a refugee and lived for about 7 years. And then in 2006 is when I moved to Canada, to Toronto, where I reside, and have really just worked on my career and my life. I'm a mom. Have two children, a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old boy and girl. And I am also a caregiver to my own mother's, my mother, who is an inspiration, by the way, which I hope we'll get to talk about. And I have been leading this organization, so YWCA Canada, for the last 2.5 years, with just a background in the nonprofit sector, in the public sector, where I worked in the provincial government for 2 years. And actually more than that, and just some experience as well in the healthcare sector, just really bringing in a lot of richness to my my career. So we can get into the details in any of those areas as you would like.
Well, speaking of your career, I would like to congratulate on your 2025 Visionary Impact Award presented by Green Shield. This award recognizes a leader whose bold vision, commitment to equity and transformative impact has reshaped Canada's nonprofit landscape. What do you think made you stand out among the other candidates for this award?
Oh, thank you so much for that. That's really kind of you. The award is a recognition that was started by the Women's Nonprofit Network and definitely sponsored by Green Shield. The recognition of some of the leaders in the nonprofit sector who are doing things differently and making a mark in communities across Canada. So as the leader of the country's oldest and largest organization providing services and advocacy to advance gender equity, I get to work day in and day out to represent 29 local YWCAs across 9 provinces and 2 territories in Canada who are really working in community to ensure that women, girls, and gender diverse people who are experiencing things like abuse, poverty, homelessness, and other social and economic issues can access services when and where they need them the most. And so I am the national lead, and as part of the work that we do, I really help amplify the voices of those YWCAs working on the ground. And we lead the federal advocacy to make sure we continue to have funding. And it's so in that work, it's not just about what you do, it's how you do it. And I think really the award acknowledges some of those approaches that I've been able to do. So some of the really difficult work that we led in the last 2 years included looking at how our organization that has been around for 150 years and more, that is a long time, how that the organization has participated in things like residential schools that are, as you may know, were really harmful to Indigenous communities. So that work is not easy. But with my leadership, we were able to really have a space as a full federation to talk about that past and how do we rectify through truth and reconciliation. And so I led the organization as it issued a public apology. And this is huge. What you're talking about, Indigenous Truth and Reconciliation, it's very hard for organizations to undertake a sense of humility and saying we did some things wrong and now we are on a path to do things right. And so that took a lot of courage, and that award acknowledges that too. But there's also a lot of other areas that I think I really am proud to do things in ways that are aligned with my values of equity, of inclusion, of anti-racism, and most importantly, of joy. I do talk a lot about bringing joy in the work that we do, especially when you're working on really hard things like gender-based violence or poverty or homelessness or youth disengagement. All those things, I think, went into that award. So really, thank you so much for acknowledging that as well.
Now, you mentioned words like courage, and I'd like to point out that your leadership embodies courage, innovation, and a deep-rooted connection to the community. So my question would be, what message would you like to share with the young generation listening to you today?
That's such a good question. As a mom of two young children, I'm also a stepmom of two young adult women. I deeply believe that the future is the youth, but the future is also here. So in my work, I try to reframe how I even talk about the youth leadership that we already see that is sometimes blocked by other people thinking that young people don't have a voice or don't have a power, don't have ideas, and don't have a way to organize. And so my work is oftentimes just creating platforms and creating a space where we get out of the way and let youth lead. So I really believe that in many ways, young people are ready to take up space and to lead the work that we are doing in every single thing. So in some of the ways that I've seen could be really good to continue to emphasize those messages to the youth includes asking people, young people, to get engaged. That is how I started my own work as a newcomer here to Canada, getting into some volunteering in any causes that I really liked. And mine were about housing and about just community development and solidarity through economic support. I started getting involved here in Toronto in some women's groups, including the group that was called Haguruka, Haguruka Association of Burundian Women, based here in Toronto, where I was able to support the leadership there and help it grow, and really seeing the impact that younger people, whenever they're engaged in some of the events we were throwing, some of the programs that were about supporting women, other women back in Burundi, to get out of poverty. Just to seeing that was very inspirational. But it always starts with, how can I, in my community right now, get engaged? That could be my church, that could be in an association, in a club, but I need to get out there and meet other people and help solve a real issue that is happening right now. And there's no shortage of issues. So that is what I encourage young people to do, to look at what's your passion? How do you want to be thought of and remembered as having been part of that community where you are right now? That could be a school. That could be, again, at work. How can you bring that up? And if it doesn't exist, that thing that you are passionate about, is how can you be the person who's starting that? And so having that startup mindset has been something that I really believe in it as well, because we can be the change that we want to see, as somebody said before me. And that is a big thing that young people can actually show the way in doing. So I encourage people to just get outside and get engaged in any initiatives. And I see that every day, and I'm encouraged by that.
It's fascinating to see the growth of the youth being mobilized. And I'm probably also in the same generation as your two daughters. Speaking of growth, YWCA operates in more than 90 countries, all united in the call to rise up for peace. What is your message to your global and national teams who continue this important mission?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think the biggest piece of that message there is understanding that we are part of a powerful movement. And that, to me, is the antidote to some of the feelings of powerlessness and helplessness that we can tend to feel nowadays. Things are pretty gloomy and bleak, especially for young people. I think opportunities have been just receding. We hear about how socioeconomically it's harder for younger people to actually project themselves in the future right now, given everything that is happening politically, geopolitically, that is, in Canada specifically, but also beyond Canada. Understanding that there's a solidarity across different countries is something that gives me hope every day. And so in that message to rise up for peace, and by the way, I think you may have seen that, so as part of the worldwide WCA Federation, we're talking about supporting the organization globally in achieving its theory of change, which is about ensuring that 100 million girls and young women are transforming power structures. But that also takes allyship with young men and boys to help us achieve equity, gender equity. And so I believe in working in allyship to change systemic oppression. And I also think that when you look at, all the countries that are at war, all the suffering that is happening, I think continuing to think that a different world is possible, not just to take things as they are shared, as given, as a done deal, but continuing to challenge notions of how things ought to be, how politics ought to be, how are you going to get engaged in voting or getting people excited about a future where they see themselves. We see some examples where younger people are more supportive across the globe, and what gets them excited. And I think is for organizations like mine, it's about understanding what that engagement looks like. Again, getting out of the way so that youth can actually lead those initiatives, and just being the cheerleaders and the enablers, the resourcing of the work that needs to happen. But there's my work is always about trying to fight against the doom and gloom that people have, you see in the news, and trying to see what else we can imagine in terms of a better world that is really centered around peace and inclusion.
Now, you mentioned the word understanding, and I also think let's try and understand this quote that you mentioned, this very powerful quote that says, ending gender-based violence is not a moment, it's a movement. What does this statement mean to you personally and in your work?
Ending gender-based violence is a movement means that we have been working at this for a long time, I think as old as humanity itself, and achieving, we've achieved some growth and some successes. We can see how women and girls are integrated in every facet of life, but it's not easy. We continue to see obstacles, whether that's at work, whether that's at home, in schools, and but now we're talking about, real life and virtual life and how some of those challenges that have to do with violence and harassment are also migrating online and offline. And so for us, a movement means things are continually in motion, and that may be the challenges, but also the solutions to those challenges have to be in motion and constantly evolving and regenerating themselves. So as much as we work to achieve, equity and successes in getting there, we can't stop and be like, okay, now we've arrived and everything is okay, because we know that rights, even once they are achieved, can be taken away and can regress in the blink of a second, we see that movements, as much as there's effort to go towards, you know, a future that is bright for everybody, there are also forces that can continue to keep us in regressive mode. So I think when we say that when the issue of tackling gender-based violence, it's a movement because we need to continue to have vigilance around how challenges are shifting, how, you know, what is the new face of harassment now that we are talking about apps and social media platforms, anonymity, and how can we come up with resources and tools and an empowerment approach that allows everybody to enjoy these new platforms at the same, you know, on the same level in an equitable way. So it's a movement because we're always vigilant to continue to safeguard not just what we've achieved, but also push further to get new grounds of equity.
Very insightful words. One final question. How do you think that building a radio, a platform for people of African descent, will help them amplify their voices, share experiences, and learn from one another?
Oh, well, I think it's powerful. Radio connects us all, and it helps extend the reach and the voice. And when we're talking about people of African descent, especially in contexts of North America or Canada, I know we continue to live in a reality where not all spaces were really created and welcoming for all of us. So it's good to have a community-focused platform that allows us to explore challenges and experiences and how we are living through those experiences and navigating them and share resources and support each other and empower each other in a way where we feel safe, right? In a platform where you feel already accepted and included. And I think that is a powerful thing to have. Some of the worst things that can happen is when you're feeling isolated and you don't have a place where you can find a shared and common experience. And having a radio like this does break through that feeling of isolation, as I said. So I think it's a great thing that was started, this initiative. And especially for younger people, again, we're talking about a lot of disenfranchisement and where younger people don't see themselves seen and heard. And having a radio like this, where you as young people are also leading, like having you as a reporter, exploring topics that are important to you and that are important to friends and people of your generation is a powerful tool. I can't think of anything better to think about how to shape the future that we want than to actually follow the leadership of young people through all kinds of media, including radio. I actually love that because it's kind of an old school way of doing, of co-opting some of these platforms that were not really created for that and making them modern and making sure we continue to be relevant in all kinds of areas. So I say, you go, continue to push forward and reach further. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to also add my voice to that.
Thank you so much, Aline, for sharing your inspiring story and insights with us on Mucha Radio. We wish you continued success in your leadership and your fight for justice and equity.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care.